There are places that we go and places that we encounter, and it just seems like that there's something about that spot that God speaks to us more than anywhere else. And throughout Scripture, we see that with different people, and we know that God's not limited as to where He can speak. He can speak from burning bushes. He can speak through a donkey. He can speak through at the threshing floor or in the belly of a whale. He is not limited. But I've been encouraging you, and I want you to hear the voice of God. And not only hear the voice of God, but I want you to be able to discern what He's speaking to you through His whisper. Right? This morning I was planned on which way I was going to go and what we were going to talk about and the direction, and I had prepared, and I felt the urge to go another direction, and we're still going to focus on hearing from God, but we're going to go about it a different way. And one of the ways that we can hear from God and discern His voice is through the signs that He shows us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be the signs to mark the seasons, the days, and the years." They're signs to us, right? And throughout Scripture, we see God use signs, and he says, "This is the sign of what He's promising or what He's doing." In Isaiah 38:7, it said, "This is the sign from the Lord to prove that He will do as He promised." For Noah, that sign, that promise, that covenant was the rainbow. God said, "I'm giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creations. For all generations to come, I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth," that He would never flood it again. Right? It was the sign of the covenant that God was promising to Noah and to all creation, that the earth would never be destroyed by water again. For Abraham, the sign was circumcision. For Abraham's servant, it was water for his camels as well as himself. For Gideon, it was the wet fleece and then the dry fleece. For Jonathan, it was a phrase. In 1 Samuel 14:6, Jonathan looks at his armor bearer and says, "Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans. Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win with a battle, whether He has many warriors or only a few." This is probably one of my favorite quotes in Scripture, is right here, because he says, "Perhaps the Lord will help us. Perhaps the Lord will help us. Perhaps the Lord will, maybe He will, possibly He will, you never know, it's worth a shot. Perhaps He'll take care of us, perhaps He'll watch out for us." But he goes on to say in verse 9, he says, "If they say to us, 'Stay where you are or we'll kill you,' then we will stop and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come on up and fight,' then we will go up, and that will be the Lord's sign that He will help us defeat them." The precedent for praying for God's will for our lives and seeing the signs is in Scripture, right? But it's there. People prayed for signs. People laid fleeces out for God. The precedents are there, right? But we don't... I want you to understand that we don't interpret Scripture with signs. We interpret signs with Scripture. There are things that happen in life that people think are a sign that really are not a sign. A bird flying over your head is not necessarily a sign. Now, if it poops on you there, we might have another thing to talk about. But that's not necessarily a sign. Things that happen every day are not necessarily a sign. And sometimes, Gail, when we want to do what we want to do and not what God wants to do, we lay out this broad fleece that's so broad that, I mean, there's no way that it won't happen, right? And we think, well, since it happened... But if we're going to lay a fleece out for God, we need to be very specific. The thing about it is I could say, God, if you make my kid wake up at you know 7 o'clock, then that must be a sign from you. Well, they wake up about that time, whether that we want them to or not. At least one of them, with five of them there, one of them's gonna wake up. I don't want it to be so broad that I know that I could say, well, it was just whatever. I want it to be so decisive. I mean, Gideon said, let everything around the fleece be wet and the fleece be dry. Let everything around the fleece be dry and the fleece be wet. It was so specific that there was no way that it wouldn't be God if it happened. I mean, sometimes I wish that we could just cast lots like the disciples did to determine God's will for our life. It would make things easier sometimes, right? I mean, let's figure out who the new Judas is. But that was prior to the Holy Spirit empowering them. And once the Holy Spirit empowered them, there was a new way to hear from God. There was a new way for us to determine His will for our lives. Certainly throwing dice or casting lots to determine God's will for our life would be a lot easier in some senses, but it takes away the intimacy factor with God. The thing about hearing from God, and the thing that we've been talking about with hearing His whisper, is it's about an intimacy factor with God. It's about being intimate with God. It's about being close to Him. It's about being in a walk with Him. It's about being in sync. It's about turning our ear to hear what He has to say to us. I want to know what God's will for my life is, right? There are certain situations in my life that I want to know God's will for it. I want to pray about it, and I will pray about it, and I do pray about it. But sometimes I'm like, man, it would be a lot easier if we could just roll the spin wheel or throw a dice, and that's the answer. For weeks, though, we've been talking about leaning into the voice of God, and in order to do that, there's an intimacy factor that has to be a closeness to Him. Discerning the will of God is about so much more than doing His will. Discerning His will is about knowing His heart. And that only happens when we get close enough to hear His whisper. When we first started talking about hearing for God, we talked about the whisper, right? And we talked about how the whisper is breath leaving your vocal cords without sound coming out. And so literally it's breathing. And His whisper provides life because it's His breath that started it. It's His breath that breathes life into things. It's His voice. He speaks and things happen. So what is it? The will of God, the will and discerning the will of God and His voice, there's something to it. And there's a point that we have to get close enough to hear to discern. The thing about the will of God is when you know you're in the will of God, there's something about it that gets you fired up. Right? It makes your heart skip a beat. When you think about it, it's the thing that almost gets you nervous and excitement all at the same time. You know, it's that moment in life when God begins to speak to you that you're so excited, but you feel like you could throw up all at once. Right? It's those moments. It's that moment that you're about to do something that you know is God's will. And you're nervous, and you're excited, and you're just anxious, and you don't know what to do next. And it's all those feelings all at once. Now, I'm not telling you that every time that the will of God is like that. I'm not saying that everything that God lays out will make you feel that way. Not everything that God lays out is going to make you feel excited and anxious all at the same time. Sometimes it's going to just make you frustrated. Sometimes it's just going to be aggravating. You know, we still have to wash our clothes. That doesn't get me excited in the morning. But we still have to do it. There are certain things with God that's the same way. But when with God-sized dreams and God-ordained callings should get you excited, There should be a peace in the will of God. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." What does it mean that you won't be, you know, that, what, I mean, you're going to be scared and stressed all at the same time when God speaks to you? But peace simply means that you know in your heart of hearts that there, this is the right thing to do. The peace that surpasses all understanding. It's not always easy. Just because you're going to find peace in it doesn't mean that leading up to it, it's going to be easy. Faith, and when it comes to the will of God, faith is taking the first step when you don't see the second step. And the peace that comes is not always easy. I was facing a situation recently, and I was nervous, and I didn't want to do what God was asking me to do, for more reasons than one. And I was frustrated, and I was nervous, and I felt like I was going to throw up, and all those things. And then when I started doing what He asked me to do, there was an immediate peace that came over me. I was stressed until that moment. It was a high-stress situation. There was that nagging of myself going, maybe this isn't the will of God. But knowing that it was. And immediately when that peace came over me and surrounded me, it was like, okay, thank you, God. Listen, when you're trying to discern God's will for your life, it's okay to seek out wise counsel as well. Yes. You don't have to do it on your own. In fact, Proverbs 20:18 says, "Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without any wise advice." Proverbs 12:15 says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." Anytime I need to make a big decision, anytime I think that I've heard from God, and I'm weighing out God's will for my life, there are people who I talk to about it. Sometimes I just talk it through. Sometimes I talk to them for advice. Sometimes I just want them to listen. But I'm careful about who I let speak into my life. I'm careful about who I allow to speak into my life. And who I talk to depends on what I'm trying to determine. I want to talk to someone who's been through it. I want to talk to someone who's done what God is asking me to do. I want to know how they did it. Not that I'm going to do it the same way, but I want to know. Because I want to determine, is this really God's will for my life, or is it just me? I was driving down the road the other day, and I got this wild idea, and I called two people on the way home, and I said, I don't know if this is just a crazy idea that crossed my synopsis or if this is God, but this is what it is. And one of them said, sounds like a good idea. And I was like, no, that's not what I need to hear. And so I called the other guy, and I was like, hey, look, this is what went across my mind. And he said, have you prayed about it? I was like, it literally just crossed my mind, and I'm just trying to figure out. I know you just did this, so I'm trying to figure out, how did you know? And so we talked it through, and there he was like, he talked me out of it, honestly, like pretty quickly. And if he was able to talk me out of it that quickly, it wasn't God. I've told you that one of the ways that I know that it's God is it makes zero logical sense. That's how I know it's God. I know God is speaking to my life and telling me to do something when it makes absolutely no sense. When it is just absolutely crazy, I know that it's God. It makes zero logical sense. It's crazily. It's usually a God dream. God's will is beyond our abilities. I mean, there's no way that I can do it on my own. It's beyond our logic and beyond our resources. We can't do it without Him, and that's when I know, okay, it's God. If this is God or not, I'm measuring is this crazy? Can I do it on my own? Or am I going to need help? His help. You know, we're only a third of the way through the year, and already we have experienced some crazy things. We've experienced some crazy God things. And there's been things that have happened that have made me go, God, is this really you? There have been moments that I've had to discern that. There have been moments that I've had to call people. There have been moments that I just had to wait for the peace of it, His peace. But when God begins to speak to you, I have had someone talking to me a few weeks ago, and they said, how do I know that if it's God or not? I was like, well, you didn't think that up. Not trying to offend that person. I wasn't telling them they were dumb. I was just saying, you didn't think that up. Because you're worried about it makes me know that God is probably in it. Because you're concerned about how it's going to happen and how you're going to do what He's asking you to do. We know His voice more than we think we do. And when He begins to speak, we know His voice. We know His voice. We know. But we still question it. And that's okay. It's okay to question. Where it gets to be a problem is when we're delaying what God is asking us to do by questioning. When we get to the point that we're delaying what God is asking us to do because we're like, I don't know if this is God or not. Maybe it was the tacos I ate last night. And we start delaying what God is doing, is asking us to do, then we're in disobedience. We're in disobedience. If we're delaying and not acting on what He's asking us to do, then we're disobeying, right? If you ask your kid to do something and they were doing 10 other things before they did what you were asking them to do, how do you see that? As a parent, how do you see that? You see it as them not listening and they're not doing what you're telling them to do. They're being disobedient. If you don't see it that way, I applaud you. Because I see it that way. If I ask my kid to do something and I turn around and they are going the opposite direction of where I told them, what I told them to just do, I'm going, hey, did you hear what I said? Are you listening? And I feel like that sometimes we're that way with God, though. God is telling us exactly what He wants us to do, and we're going, nah, I don't want to do that. I'm going this way. And He said, hey, are you listening? I mean, Balaam was like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go my own way. And God had to make His donkey speak to him. And the craziest thing about that whole story is not the donkey speaking to him. It's that Balaam started talking back to the donkey like nothing had happened. Like this is normal every day. And then he says, I'm going to pull out my sword and kill you. Now, I can tell you that the one thing you don't want to do is kill the talking donkey. That is your meal ticket. But he acts like it's no big deal. Oh, the donkey's talking to me. I'm going to talk back to it. I would have got off that donkey and said, what? What is happening? Why are you talking to me? How long have you been able to talk? I have so many questions. The thing is the signs are all around us all the time, right? When it comes to God's will for our life and what He's speaking to us, there's signs all around us all the time. Knowing whether or not the sign is from God or not. That's where we have to use those tests, the litmus test. Of is this crazy? Do I feel peace? Does it line up with Scripture? Do I feel excited and nervous all at the same time? I'm trying to hear God's voice and figure out God's will for our lives. When we're doing that, we have to pay attention to the signs. Are we paying attention to them? Is he speaking through to us through the signs? Is he speaking to us through other things? I mean, if he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through anything. He can speak through anything. Are we paying attention to the signs around us? Are we paying attention to the signs around us? In December of 2004, there was the third largest earthquake ever recorded occurred beneath the Indian Ocean. It was a 9.1 magnitude. It created a tsunami waves over 100 foot tall, moving at 500 miles per hour in a 3,000 mile radius. 227,898 lives were lost. But the Moken people, an Austro-Asian group, a nomadic sea culture, they lost no people. They live on the sea. They're born and die on open seas. Their boats function as houseboats. They're sea gypsies, so to speak. Their children learn to swim before they learn to walk. They can see twice as clearly underwater as any of you can. And they can hold their breath longer. I mean, if there was a breath-holding contest, there would be no contest. They'd win. But they did not survive this tsunami by those things and because of those things. They survived this thing because they have an intimacy with the ocean. They could read the moods of the ocean better than oceanographers. On the day of the earthquake, an amateur photographer in Bangkok, Thailand, was taking pictures of the Moken people and became concerned. As the sea was receding, the Moken people who were around the shore began to pull their boats in, and they were crying as they were moving to higher ground because they knew what was about to happen. The ones that were further to sea started moving further out, as far out into sea as they could, because the further they got away from land, the smaller the wave would be. There were Mokens there that were right next to some fishermen, and they warned the fishermen that they needed to get into land, and the fishermen didn't listen, and everyone on that fishing boat, it was a huge fishing boat, everyone on that boat died. How did this happen? Because they understood the signs. They knew that something wasn't right. And one of them said, I heard the cicadas stop making noise. I heard the birds stop making noise. We should see the elephants on land moving inland. The dolphins were swimming out to sea. They paid attention to what was going on around them. They heard it. And the moment that the first little wave came, that wasn't very big at all, it was just a regular wave, but they said it was all by itself. I don't know if you knew this, but waves don't come alone. And they said it was a single wave by itself. And that was the last sign that they said something's not right. People lost their life. But the Mokens, because of their intimacy with the ocean, knew that something wasn't right. When we are in tune with God, we will know when something's different, when something's not right, or when something's right on. Pharaoh ignored the 10 miracles that were the ancient equivalent of flashing neon signs. How did that work out for him, ignoring the signs from God? I mean, God speaks through signs. He ignored them completely. What if Noah had ignored God rather than building the boat? What if Joseph had disregarded Pharaoh's dreams when he came to him in prison and said, I'm not coming to see you? What if Moses had walked by the burning bush without stopping? It's just another burning bush. What if the wise men had dismissed what the stars were saying? What if Saul had mistaken his vision on the road to Damascus with some solar eclipse, something? If Noah had ignored the sign, he and his family would have died in the flood. There would have been no rainbow, and human history as we know it would have ended. If Joseph had disregarded Pharaoh's dreams, two nations would have been destroyed by famine. If Moses had kept walking by the burning bush, the Exodus of Israel would not have happened, and the promised land would not have been possessed. If the wise men hadn't followed the stars, they would have not discovered the Messiah. If Saul hadn't done an about face, he would not have become Paul, and half of the New Testament would have never been written. It's all about the signs, and are we paying attention to them? Mark 16:20 says, "And the disciples went everywhere and preached to the Lord, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they had seen by many miraculous signs." Are we seeing many miraculous signs? What are we doing with those? Are we keeping them to ourselves, or are we sharing them with others? God isn't going to continue to do miracles in our house if we keep it to ourselves. He's not going to continue to heal people. He's not going to continue to deliver people. He's not going to continue to change people's lives if we sit on our hands and do nothing about it. I'm not saying that we gotta go out and drum things up, because I'm not interested in drumming up some fake news. But what I am telling you is that when God begins to move, we better begin to share it. When God begins to do things in our lives, it's not so that we can say, "Oh man, God is really good," and never share it with anyone. When God begins to do things in our lives, it's for us to share with everyone. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? When's the last time you shared your God story? Well, God never did anything real big in my life. He never healed me. Yeah, but you're still alive. He's done something in your life. You're here. He's done something in your life. When's the last time you shared it? Well, I don't see anyone during the week to share it with. Everyone I know is Christians. Are they really? Are you sure? If you're not sharing your story, how do you know? Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, and I'm telling you to go out and beat people over the head with a Bible. That's not what I'm telling you at all. But I'm telling you that you need to be sharing what God is doing in your life. You want God to continue to move? You want God to continue to touch your life? You want God to continue to heal and perform miracles? You better start sharing it. God is doing things here. Are we sharing it with the people around us? What signs are you seeing? And what signs have you ignored? What signs have you ignored? Because you said, "That wasn't a sign. That wasn't God." But you knew it was. We know His voice. We know when it's a God sign. Ask everyone in the wood to stand to your feet. Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You once again for the opportunities You've given us together in Your presence. Lord, I pray that You just move across this house today. God, I pray that you just begin to move and you begin to speak. Lord, we have been praying and asking you to speak to us. We are wanting to hear your voice, God. We are wanting to do what you ask us to do. We want to walk in your will, God. Help us to do that today. Lord, if there are people in this room that have ignored the signs, God, whatever they may be, have been, and they've ignored them, Lord, I pray that today that you help us to start reacting and responding to the signs. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here and you're not where you need to be with God. Maybe you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, or you're not where you need to be with him. I want to invite you to come to the front. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. But maybe God has been speaking to your heart. Maybe God has been pushing you and pulling at you, so to speak. He's been speaking to your heart and you've ignored it for whatever reason. Maybe it's been fear. Maybe you've questioned, is this it, really God? And you just want to know for sure and you want some encouragement. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you that what God is speaking to your heart, that you'll be able to accomplish through his help. God's been dealing with you. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it. Don't miss it this morning. Don't miss it. What's God been speaking to you? What signs have you ignored this morning? Maybe you've been praying for a sign and you haven't seen it yet. Maybe you have and you just don't realize it. But you've been praying and you need God to speak about a situation or a circumstance. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you that God will give you a clear sign this morning. I want to invite you to come. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you for the ones that are in this house, Lord. I thank you for the ones that responded. And Lord, I know that there are more that need to respond this morning. And Lord, I pray that they begin to right now, even in their seats, Lord. I pray that they begin to respond to you. Lord, I pray that as we leave this house, God, that we see and hear your signs and we hear your voice, Lord. Don't let it just be a whisper, God. But let it be more than that. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so. I encourage you to move this altar.